I'm going to read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Hear now God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And so ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father, this is your word. And we pray that you would speak to us this morning, even through my feeble words. Use this time, Father, to speak to us through your word. Lord, you have a word for each one of us. Would you implant it in our hearts? Would you open our ears? I can only speak to the ears. Only you can speak to our heart. We pray that you would do that by your Spirit during this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, I believe that this passage is a call for a sense of urgency, even for a sense of alarm. A proverb says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I believe here the Lord Jesus Christ has given us something to instill a healthy dose of fear. And I say that because what we have here from our Lord Jesus Christ, what he says to us is something very simple and plain that is very different, that declares to us what the nature of salvation, the nature of what it means to be a faithful believer or even a faithful church. It's a message that is very different from what I believe the modern church professes. He gives us a test that is an essential test by which we can measure whether we are faithful in our walk with the Lord and faithful as a church. And if I can put that test very simply, it is this. Faithfulness is not simply accepting a truth to be true, or even speaking a truth, or often sometimes doing the Christian things. But the true test of faithfulness is, do we bear fruit that the Father seeks? Are we bearing fruit? It is this theme of bearing fruit, the necessity of bearing fruit, how we bear fruit. That's what we will be focusing as we examine this passage from John chapter 15 today. So we begin with the question, or speak of the necessity of bearing fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every vine, every branch that does not bear fruit, my Father takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And so we have this another image of what the church is. We've been exploring what the church is, what Scripture tells us. Last week we considered from Ephesians chapter 4 how the church is a body, the body of Christ, and we as individual members are individual parts of his body and connected to him. Here the image is that of a tree, a glorious tree. The Lord Jesus Christ is the root, the vine, the stump, and all of his church is the branches from that. If you can picture a tree and the construction of a tree, we can understand the interconnected nature of the church. There is Jesus as the stump, the trunk of the tree, and you have larger branches stemming off of that, churches, and individual smaller branches and twigs off of those branches, the individual members of the church. And what Jesus says is that this is a grand and glorious tree that his Father has planted. And the Father's purpose for this tree, for his church, for his kingdom, is that it would be a grand and glorious tree. Jesus had said this. He told this parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make the nests in its branches." The Father's intent for his kingdom, for his church, is that it would be alive, that it would flourish, that it would grow, each part of it. But this tree is a fruit-bearing tree. This is a tree that bears fruit, that the Father comes as a vine dresser looking for fruit, and he comes to work on his tree. He comes to take care of it so that it will be healthy and that it will bear much fruit. And what he does is he comes and he looks for the branches that are not bearing fruit, the individuals that are not bearing fruit, or the larger branches of churches that are not bearing fruit, and he cuts them off so that the tree would flourish. He takes them and he throws them into a pile. They wither, they die, he prepares them to be burned. And they wither. And beloved, I hope you can see that there is a sense of urgency that you and I must ask ourselves. Am I bearing fruit? Am I bearing the fruit that the Father is looking for? Or am I at risk of being cut off from the vine? And it's an essential question that we need to ask of this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we bearing fruit as the Father desires? We need to understand that this is not an optional. It's bearing fruit. It's not a suggestion. It's not something optional that we can do if we get around to it. This is a gracious warning from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Son came to reveal the Father's purpose, and what he has said is that he will certainly cut off every branch that does not bear fruit. This is what he will do. So we must bear fruit. But even if we do bear fruit, we can expect change. It's not like we can possibly stay static. He says that every branch that does bear fruit, the Father prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What a precious promise that is, brothers and sisters, that we who bear fruit, we can expect that the Father will be actively involved in our lives. If we bear fruit as a ministry, he will be actively involved in bringing about greater changes so that we will bear even greater fruit. But it comes at a cost, because when you prune a bush or a tree, invariably you cut off branches that are alive. Branches that are bearing fruit. You have a purpose for the plant. You want to shape it in a particular form. You want it to flourish and be even greater alive. And so we can expect that the Father will be at work like that in our lives. He might cut off things that we don't want cut off from us individually or as a ministry or his purpose, that we would bear even more fruit to his glory. Well, if this fruit is necessary, we ought to ask, how? What does it take? How do we bear this fruit? Where does this fruit come from? What do I need to do in order to bear this fruit? Thankfully, our Savior answers that question. He says, verse 5, says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." If we abide in Christ and he abides in us, he says that is the one that will bear much fruit. We have to understand that this is an active and ongoing responsibility for us to be faithful in our Christian walk or faithful as a church, that we must be active and ongoing in abiding in Christ. And we can see that in two ways. The first is because the Lord Jesus Christ made this command. He said, abide in me. It's remain, continue, live. It's an ongoing thing. We might be inclined to think that what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing there is he is offering salvation in himself. That he is saying to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, abide in me, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That is a true fact, but that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here. I can declare to you, friends, that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not put your faith in him, then you are not even part of this grand and glorious plant. You are not connected to the vine. You can do nothing apart from him. But he offers himself to you. That's why he came. He came to offer salvation. He came and he said, believe. We are told to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's through that that we are united to the vine. We become his branches, and we bear fruit. That is what he urges us to do. And yet, that's not what Jesus is doing here. Because he's not speaking to those who don't believe in him. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who know him. And this is confirmed by what he says in verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me. These are those who have professed their faith in Jesus Christ, who have joined themselves to the church, and are not bearing fruit in accordance with the vine, not bearing the fruit that the Lord Jesus Christ compels us to have, that the Father is looking for. It is possible for someone who is a professed believer to bear no fruit and to be cut off from the vine. You say, whoa, 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 hold on a second. Hold on a second, Mark. What about our Reformed doctrines of grace? What you're talking about is something that begins to sound a little man-centered, like we have to do something or else we can be cut off. Far from it, brothers and sisters. I'm not professing any man-centric thing. We can declare with certainty our glorious doctrines, but we need to let God's word inform us in what those doctrines mean. Without a doubt, one of our great hopes is that all those who are elect from the Father before the foundation of the world will come to faith and will be preserved to the end. They will not be cut off. But just as true, beloved, is that not all who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are of the elect. Not all who are in the church are of the elect. All those who are of the elect, who profess the name of Christ, who are in the church, must bear fruit. That is the test that the Lord has given to us for whether we are truly his. And this is testified throughout Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, for I say to you that many, many will say on that day, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Another person said, Lord, will those who are saved be only a few? He didn't answer that question. But what he said was, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for I tell you that many will seek to enter and will not be able. This is my concern, brothers and sisters. Jesus said, many, many. There are many who believe, who have professed the name of Christ and believe that they are safe to stand before the Lord in judgment. There are many who believe that they are safe from the wrath of God to come. There are many who believe that they have entered, they have inherited eternal life, and they have not, beloved. And I pray and I urge you to examine your heart, that you not be one of those many, but you be one of the few that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and bears fruit and has assurance of your salvation. Beloved, this ought to give us a sense of urgency, not terror, not fear. Jesus Christ did not come to condemn, but to save. This is an urgent plea from our King and our Savior. He calls us to watchful action, to discern whether we are bearing the fruit that he expects. And some might say, well, you know, the thing about fruit is it takes time sometimes. Fruit can be slow in coming, which is very true. But it must come. It must come. Jesus told another parable. He said, a man had a fig tree, and he planted it in his vineyard, and he came seeking for fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Beloved, I hope you see that that is what these sermons in this sermon series are intending to do. What this sermon is intending to do. This is the Father's purpose. That he would till the ground. He would fertilize this plant, even each one of us. That he would prune it. That we would bear much fruit to his glory and to our benefit. But we bear fruit by abiding in Christ. We need to ask the question, well, how is it that we abide in Christ? What is it that that means? Because it's somewhat abstract. And again, our Savior teaches us this, but it takes a little bit of work to get there. We must follow his logic as he works us through this instruction. And he begins in verse 7 by associating abiding with Christ with his words. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So to abide in him means that there is some element of his words abiding in us. And Jesus Christ is the very word of God incarnate. So for his words to be in us means that he is in us. And we are connected with him. And words, we don't simply mean the words that are read in some of our Bibles. We mean all scripture. Because he is the very word of God, that it must be in us. Secondly, he goes on to say in verse 9, he connects abiding in Christ with his love. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. But I don't know if you noticed this, but in verse 7, it is the words that are abiding in us. Now it's we are being told to abide in his love. It's a love that is outside of us. In fact, this is the response to the words abiding in us. He speaks into our hearts, and we maintain those words in us, and the response is that it compels us to abide in his love. Well, how do we do that? Well, he tells us in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. His commandments are the words that he spoke of. And we see how this all comes to fruition. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us. His words come, his commandments come and abide in us. He is abiding in us by his words. And our response is to obey those words, to abide in his love, and so we are abiding in him. And now there's this direct connection between keeping his commandments and abiding in him and bearing fruit. Because when we keep his commandments, we abide in his love. When we abide in his love, we abide in him. And it means that his words are abiding in us. And when he abides in us and we in him, we will bear much fruit. So it is by keeping his commandments. Now, we need to pause for just a second because we as modern Christians do not like to talk about commands or commandments. We want to talk about encouragements or opportunities or pleas, entreaties. But commands are commands. We don't like it because commands suggest law. And we as modern Christians are quick to point out, well, but Mark, we are not under law, but we are under grace. That statement is absolutely true, but not the way that we typically mean it. For us in Christ Jesus, God's law is not irrelevant to us. For us as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, we do not have the option to pick and choose and excuse ourselves from God's law, from God's commandments, nor should we want to. Because God's law and every part of it is an expression of His character. His commands instruct us how to be conformed to His likeness. As the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed the commands of His Father, and He was perfectly imaging Him, so we are commanded to follow God's commands so that we too might be conformed to His image. And beloved, this is the truth of the gospel. Is that Jesus Christ did not come to enslave us to the law. He came because we were enslaved to our sin, to our rebellion against His holy law. He came to break the power of our enslavement so that we would be free to obey His commands, because His commands, God's law, is the law of liberty and the law of blessing. There was no point in all of human history thus far that man was more blessed than before sin entered into the world through rebellion. And Jesus Christ came to set us free so that we could live in obedience to these commands and grow in likeness. And this is the place where there is true blessing. And what's more, beloved, obedience is the love language that God has given to us. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Here he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Love for Christ is not simply some mental assent to some truths or some emotional reaction. It is obedience to his commands, because that is where we deny ourselves. We sacrifice our own desires. We accept the fact that God's law is good. And we want to please our Father in the Son, by the Spirit, through faithful obedience. This is the test of whether we love Christ. Are we obedient to His commands? This is the test of whether we are loving, we are children of the living God who love our Father. Do we obey Him? And this blessing and this test is true for each and every one of God's commandments. And yet I think Jesus has something specific in mind that he wants to draw our attention to. And let's see if we can get there. But first we need to ask the question, so we've been talking about fruit, but have we pointed out what is that fruit? If the Father's looking for fruit, we need to know what that fruit is so that we can bear that fruit. The fruit, because this fruit comes through obedience to his commands, the fruit that the Father is looking for is fruit that would be produced by obedience to his commands. Let me say that again. Because the fruit comes through obedience, the fruit must be that which is produced by the obedience. So if we think about what God commands us, we can see the fruit that he is looking for. We need to look at this individually and corporately as a church. What does he call us as individual believers? The Father has said, "Be holy as I am holy." That is the command. So ultimately, the fruit is, are we growing in holiness? And all of God's commands that he gives to us as individual believers are individual ways that we can grow in holiness. And when we hear about fruit within God's word, they are all indicators, they're aspects of this holiness. We're told in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're told about the fruit of righteousness. We're told about the fruit of being zealous for good works. We're told about the fruit of praise. Those are descriptions of what it means to be holy. And God's obedience to God's commands produce that fruit. As a church, as we heard a few weeks ago, we have received the command to make disciples by baptizing and by teaching them to obey all that the Lord Jesus has commanded us. So the fruit that the Father is looking for is disciples. Have you made disciples? Is there fruit of the increase of number, whether the fruit of evangelism or the fruit of the womb? And once those are added to the number, is there the fruit of genuine godliness among the people? Is there the fruit of unity within the body, the fruit of love for one another, the fruit of brotherly affection, the fruit of increased maturity, so that we might no longer be tossed to and fro, but we would be built up into Christ, the fruit of more leaders and teachers and officers within the church of Jesus Christ? Is there generous self-sacrifice of time and talents and treasures within the body? What is the body growing? Well, beloved, we could probably take all that fruit individually and corporately, and we could distill it down to one primary type of fruit, and that's the fruit of love. Do we have the fruit of love? And if we take all of God's commands, as we know, as we talk about each and every month, we can summarize all of God's law with the command to love. The command to love the Lord God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so it shouldn't surprise us, if you still have your Bibles open, if we read one more verse, as Jesus is talking about, abide and keep my commandments, and you will abide in my love. He says in verse 12, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Beloved, this is the test. This is the test for you and for me. Do we have a love for one another that is sacrificial, where we are willing and able and active and practicing laying down our lives for one another? And I don't just mean to our families, because there was Peter and Andrew right there, sitting right there, and there was James and John, and he didn't turn to those brothers and say, well, as long as you're loving each other, no, he turned to all of his disciples and he said, love one another. This, brothers and sisters, is our spiritual family. This is the body that we have been given to one another. And this, beloved, is the commandment. And it is through this that we bear fruit. Jesus says, well, you must bear fruit. And we say, well, how do we do that? And he says, well, abide in me. And we say, well, how do we do that? And he says, abide in my love. He says, how do we do that? We will keep my commandments. And we say, which one? And he says, love one another. And you do that. You love one another, and you lay down your life for one another, and you will bear fruit, because I will be in you, and you will be in me. You will bear much fruit. And we can say, well, of course we will, because the fruit you're looking for is what you've commanded, and we've been faithful to it, and you can see it. And beloved, if we do not practice love, then we do not have that fruit, which means that we are not abiding in Christ, and we are at risk of being cut off. So the question that we must ask, do we in this church love one another with this kind of love? Do you love your brothers and sisters with this kind of sacrificial love? brothers and sisters, I think we have work to do here. I think it's easy for us to want to be loved. I think we're willing to be loved. I think we need to work on loving. The command is not be loved by one another. It is to love. What does that mean? Well, Jesus said, love as you want to be loved. What does that mean to you? What is loving to you? How do you love to be loved? Love other people. Take your focus off yourself and look. Here's why I say that I think we have work to do. We're not a big church. If you take out yourself and those people who are away for college most of the time, we have about 80 members. We are not a new church. We've been around for 4 years. And during that 4 years, there hasn't been a lot of change in the membership group. So let me ask you, of those 80 members, how many of them do you love with this kind of love? How many of them do you know well? How many of them do you know their names? How many of them have you ever talked to? And brothers and sisters, how can we be a loving church if we will not even talk to each other? If we will not spend time with one another? Beloved, this is your spiritual family that the Father has given you. These are brothers and sisters to whom you have been joined by the Spirit of God. How can you grow in this area? What are the things that the Father needs to prune from your life in order that you might bear fruit? What are the practical changes that you need to make so that you might grow in this love? When it comes to individual members, I mean, it's as simple as going to introduce yourself to people that you don't know, learning their names, praying for them, practice hospitality, grow in your knowledge of who they are, and from there it will take off, and you will know how to love one another well. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to prayerfully and practically consider how you and I need to grow, to change, to love with this type of sacrificial love. And let the Father prune from your life the things that need to change. Is it your pride? Is it the way that you use time? Is it your priorities? Is it your desire for control? Is it your desire to avoid situations that are uncomfortable? What is it? Let the Father prune. We must bear fruit. You must bear fruit. That's how we prove that we are His disciples, with this kind of love. And beloved, this is wonderful news, because what God is doing is He is conforming us into His image. This is what He told Jeremiah. He said, I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. How wonderful is that? God Himself is telling us what it is that He delights in. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to set us free to do those things that delight the Father. Oh, brothers and sisters, that we would be conformed to the image of the Son, that the Father would take great delight in you and in me, in the things that we're doing. Great delight, He says. What, with the Father's delight, what rich blessings could we expect from such a good Father, delighting in His children who are exhibiting the love that reflects His love? I think it's so far greater than we can ever ask or imagine. I think that's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3. Far greater than we could ask or imagine. But what would this church be like if this sacrificial love described the ethos of this church, every member of this church working properly as it builds itself up in love. We would be a community of love. We would have generous self-sacrifice. We would feel loved. We would be loved. We would have that brotherly affection and that honest and life-giving speech. And brothers and sisters, this is the community that you and I long for. And I believe that this is the community that even those outside the church are longing for. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will draw those who are longing for that type of community to a community where that type of love is practiced. And we would bear much fruit to the glory of God. That's what Jesus promised. He said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to me, my disciples." My brothers and sisters, let us love one another with this Christian love, the love of Christ, even as he has loved us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for revealing your purposes to us, for revealing us, reminding us of the charge that you have given to us to love one another. Oh, Spirit, thank you for convicting our hearts where we have fallen short of what we have been given. Oh, but don't let us just wallow in our guilt. Help us to run to Christ Jesus, who has come to save us from ourselves and to help us to grow in him. But, Spirit, never let us grow complacent in our faith, to grow lazy in our love, to go self-focused in ourselves. Help us to always be pushing outward, even as we look to you to out of love and look to one another in love. Oh, Father, would you cultivate this love within this body that it might reflect your glory and that you might be pleased to prove in us that we are your disciples, safe in the hands of our Savior forever and ever. We pray these things in his name. Amen.